Well, good morning to you all.
Good
to see you all on this lovely day. Well, 10 long weeks ago, we began our series entitled Live Justly. And today, as you've heard, we've reached our final study in this particular series. So we think today of how then, in the light of all that we've learnt the previous 9 weeks, how then shall we live, or alternative title, Justice, a Lifestyle. We embarked on this series, Live Justly, in recognition of the fact that this year, is Tearfund's 50th anniversary. It's their jubilee, 50 years in which the charity has worked, well, unstintingly, offering relief aid, whilst at the same time seeking to combat extreme poverty through advocacy and sustainable self-help programs. And the scripture we read to launch our series was that wonderful passage from Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 8. And we're going to read it to finish the series. So could we have that up, John? And there's nothing like reading scripture out loud and reading it together, because we're proclaiming it together. So we're going to read this together. I suggest we read it from the screen so that we're all reading the same version. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance for our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Strangers will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards, and you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion, and instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. Marvelous words. And we noted that verse 8 reminds us that God loves justice. He hates wrongdoing. Not surprising, because he is a just God. It's part of his nature. It's a characteristic, and it's a characteristic that he desires to see in his people. We also noted that the phrase, the year of the Lord's favor, verse 2, I think it was, is usually connected with the biblical concept of Jubilee, fitting as it's Tiffin's Jubilee. You'll find that in Leviticus 25. And this was enacted every 50 years, a Sabbath of Sabbath years. A time when the nation of Israel acknowledged its failings, sought forgiveness and redemption, dealt with injustice in practical ways in order that it could put things right. Jubilee was a time of reset, a time of transformation for the nation, transforming itself in readiness for a fresh start, year one of the next 50 years. Even creation, nature, had a chance to refresh as the land was left fallow, unworked for a year, resting, re-energizing. And we remembered that Jesus read this passage from Isaiah in the synagogue in Nazareth as he began his public ministry. In effect, he was describing what his ministry would be. This passage describes the nature of the work of Jesus. And indeed, after he read it, he confirmed this was so by saying, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And as we read that this morning, it suddenly struck me, because we read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," it struck me, can we say? Should we say? There's a question hanging in the air. "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing," as we go about Jesus' work. But there's a very real sense in which Jesus himself is our Jubilee. As we acknowledge our failings, so in him and through him, we find forgiveness. We find redemption. He provides the opportunity to put things right, to reset, to be transformed, to start over anew. Remember that comment of Paul's in his second letter to the Corinthians. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. She's very good, isn't she, Jean? Thank you, Jean. And just as the Old Testament Jubilee had a practical outworking, so the Jubilee that is Jesus, though beginning internally as a spiritual awakening, does not end there. That's not the purpose, to end there. It is to be lived out in our day-to-day physical lives in a practical way, hopefully reflecting something of the character of Jesus, the character of the Father, and the values of the kingdom. So we began by attempting to grasp the idea of biblical justice all those weeks ago. And then we explored the idea of our mission in the world, integral mission, joined up mission, not bitty, itty, bitty, bitty. We thought about combining charity and advocacy. not charity alone, not advocacy alone, the two working together. We considered justice and prayer, the power of prayer. We championed campaigning for justice. We were challenged on what we consume daily. We thought possessions are not power. We juggled justice and generosity. We argued for authentic relationships. We justified creation care. And we arrive at today. How then shall we live? Our final session. How do we conclude? Well, I'll try and wrap it up. You know, everyone loves the idea of justice until there's a cost. And ironically, justice is never convenient because there is always a cost. That's why we like doing justice. We like the idea of doing justice or following Jesus up to the point at which it provokes an act of sacrifice, requires sacrifice from us, forcing us to change the way we live or change the way we think. And God challenges us. He challenges me at any rate. Maybe you too, to live more simply. He challenges us to give up some of the excess in our lives. He doesn't want us to give up the joy and the pleasure. Jesus came that we may have life and have it in all its fullness, embracing all these wonderful gifts of God. But he wants us to give up some of the excess. Jesus loves justice. And justice by its very nature involves people. And people sometimes struggle with Jesus' commitment to justice. Because he rarely, if ever, spelled out the importance of justice in a three-point sermon. Instead, Jesus lived justly. You could say Jesus' sermon on justice was his life. He lived justly. Justice was in Jesus. He reflected justice in how he lived, how he loved, how he welcomed the stranger, the marginalized, the leper, the widow, the prostitute, the sick. Jesus reflected justice in how he approached the powers and systems of his age. How he confronted religious leaders. How he embraced, welcomed, and empowered women. And how he confronted ethnic biases and prejudices. Jesus loved justice, but more so, he lived justly. And the sting in the tail, or is it a privilege? He calls us to follow him. Justice is not just a thing that is good. It's not merely doing good. J- Justice is not something that's moral or right or fair. Justice is not in itself a set of ethics. It's not just an aggregation of the many justice-themed verses throughout Scripture. Justice is not trendy. It's not glamorous. It's not cool. It's not sexy. Justice isn't a movement. It's so much more. And the understanding of its fullness is central to the work that we as God's people can do in pursuing justice. God invites, nay, commands his people to not just be aware of injustice, but to pursue justice. Not just to pursue justice, but to live justly. These two things are not the same, but they're inseparable. To be a follower of Jesus requires us both to pursue justice and to live justly at the same time. Discuss in your house groups. There is a question on that. This is a truth that ought to inform both our theology of justice and our practice of justice. And we seek to live this way because ultimately justice reflects, as we've already said, the character of our Heavenly Father. We do justice because it is rooted in the character of God and therefore must be reflected in the character of his people. So, in seeking to do justice, we have to learn to be open to the reality that God will challenge us. He's challenged me over these 10 weeks. So I don't know about you, but I found it challenging. And we have to be open to that fact that he will challenge us. And he will change us. And he will transform us. And yet in doing justice, and in doing things that matter to God, we actually grow. And we grow more in his likeness. And as we do, we'll begin to reflect more of his character. And we grow more intimate with the heart of our Heavenly Father. We'll do things because they embody the kingdom of God, and it's right in the eyes of God. But in doing these things, there's something really beautiful. And that is that we become more in tune with the heart of God. Now, there are times when we go about our concept of justice or compassion, good things, or generosity, when it is about us. When it is about our power and privilege to do something for others. Do you understand what I mean? It's about us. Helping others. We feel good. We have the power to do it. And we do that without perhaps entertaining the possibility that maybe God wants to change us, as well as the people we're seeking to help. We have much to learn from our neighbours that do not look like us, do not think like us, do not act like us. We may even have things to learn from our enemies. There's a level of humility that justice requires. And it exacts inside each one of us as we seek to do justice. So the inescapable truth about justice is that there is something wrong in the world, and it needs to be set right. But sometimes the things that need to be set right are not just in the lives of those we seek to serve. The things that need to be set right may also be in our own lives. We need to pursue justice, not just because the world is broken, but because we are broken too. Pursuing justice, living a just life every day, helps put our own lives in order. Perhaps this is what God intended, that in doing his work, serving others, we discover more of his character and are changed ourselves. Amen. We're going to pray together a prayer that will come up on the overhead. Give you a chance to read it, because you might not want to pray it. It's gone. Can we see the second one as well? Okay. So everybody is happy to pray that prayer. We're going to pray it out loud. Thanks, John. Lord, forgive me for the times I forsake your mission in the world for my own comfort. Guide me as I seek to live in a way that reflects you. Help my daily living to come from an attitude of worship. Give me the endurance, desire, and will to allow justice to truly encompass my actions. Help me to be a person who loves justice. I don't know what the last sentence was. But help me, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I have to confess to you that today I've done something I've never, ever done before. And when I said we'll try and wrap up, try and conclude these 10 weeks, I'll preach somebody else's sermon. Okay? He put it, I thought, wonderfully clear. Eugene Cho. I have not a clue who he is. but I came across him in the book, Live Justly. So there you are. First bit was mine. So hope you don't consider that cheating. I just thought he put it so clearly. So thank you. I just want to say a couple of things now in concluding. And what it is we've done this 10 weeks. Where do we go from here? You see, we can do these things and forget about them. Or we can do these things and they can become part of us as individuals and part of us as a church. So question, where do we church, TBC, excuse us visitors, having a domestic, but where do we go from here? I could suggest two possibilities. And the first is that perhaps we could look at our consumption as a church. Where do our supplies come from? Where do our purchases come from? Do they help or harm others or the environment? Just a thought. How we do that as a church, I have not a clue. I throw that over to you. Secondly, perhaps we could have a service later, perhaps in the autumn, which might be a sharing time where, if this has impacted your thoughts and your life, then you could share. We could all share what changes it's made in our life, not in a boastful way, but hopefully in a helpful and encouraging way for others. So I'll throw that out for the elders. And finally, for those who are really interested in the subject, TIFF and this year are holding a justice conference, 2-day conference, November, I think it's the 3rd. It's a Friday and Saturday in November. If you would like to go on that, there are early bird tickets available at the moment. Come and see me. I'm seriously thinking of going so we can sort that out. ASAP. So two suggestions and a conference for those who are really interested. Thank you and good night. No, good afternoon. The beach awaits you all, so let me keep you no longer.